If you would, take your class bulletin, and as you open that, you'll find a companion handout for our lesson together this morning. And this is Wisdom versus Foolishness, Part 2, if you will, as we continue this lesson and this thought from 2 weeks ago when we met. And appreciate your willingness to be here this morning, and many of you being so faithful to this time together in God's Word, as we have been studying a series entitled The Heart of a Child. And it is our prayer that in this class, we're learning from the Word of God, how can we instill in the hearts of our children a heart for God? And that's what we want to do. And those are the principles that we want to learn. And part of that journey is helping them to decipher between wisdom and foolishness. And that's what we started 2 weeks ago, and we're going to jump right into that here in just a moment. Today we do celebrate Father's Day, and to all the dads, happy Father's Day. I believe we have a gift for you on the way out, and so we'll be sure to get that to you at the doors and such. But happy Father's Day to each and every one of you, and so grateful that you would be here today. Sometimes dads get a bad rap, and sometimes it's just because we're misunderstood. And I ran across this week and thought that you would enjoy it about, you know, kind of men's vocabulary or their intentions, if you will, when they are misunderstood, because men don't always say what they mean. And sometimes these understandings will help in the communication in the home. For instance, when a man says, "It would take too long to explain," what he means by that is, "I have absolutely no idea how it works." And that's what he means. When a man says, "Take a break, honey. You're working too hard," what he means is, "I cannot hear this game over the vacuum cleaner." When a man says, "That's interesting, dear," what he means is, "Honey, are you still talking?" And when he says, "It's a guy thing," what he means is, "Well, there's no rational thought pattern connected with this at all. And you have no chance of making it logical. So it's a guy thing." When a man says, "Can I help you with dinner?" what he means is, "Why isn't it ready yet?" And when a man says, "Oh, don't fuss. I just cut myself. It's really no big deal." what he means is, "I have probably severed a limb. I'm going to bleed to death if I don't admit I'm hurt, so get over here and help me." When a man says, "I can't find it," what he means is, "It did not fall into my outstretched hand, so I'm completely clueless as to where it might be." When a man says, "You look terrific," what he means is, "Please do not try on one more outfit. We're already late and I'm starving." When a man says, "I'm not lost. I know exactly where we are," what he means is, "No one else will probably see us alive again." When a man says, "I don't remember saying that," it's because he means anything I may have said 6 months ago is inadmissible in any argument. In fact, all past comments become null and void after 7 days. And lastly, when a man says, "That's not what I meant," what he means is, if I said something that can be interpreted two ways, and one of those ways makes you sad or angry, I meant the other one. And what a man means. Anyway, happy Father's Day to all the dads, and appreciative of all of you being in attendance today and looking forward to a good time around God's Word. 2 weeks ago, we dived into this study, Wisdom versus Foolishness. What does God's Word teach about it, and how can we relate that to our children and to their hearts? And even children know sometimes the best way to look at things is to compare them. And that's what we began last week. By way of review, and you've got your handout, I'm going to run through the material from 2 weeks ago very quickly. We looked at the scriptural understanding by the definitions. And we looked at the definition of foolishness, which very basically is saying, the fool has said in his heart in Psalms 14:1, there is no God. And the definition of foolishness is living life as if there is no God. But then we looked at the definition of wisdom. And wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 9:10, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And what we mean by the fear of the Lord is having a reverence or an awe for God. So foolishness is there is no God. Wisdom is living in reverence of God and who He is. Then we looked at the sincere pursuits of wisdom and foolishness 2 weeks ago, and we looked at the desires of foolishness. What does foolishness desire? What is it pursuing? What is its goal? And this is what we looked at last week. It first of all, seeks pleasure. The fool is living for pleasure as the end result of life. It seeks substances. Sometimes there's a void in their heart because there is no God, and so they're seeking substances to fill that up. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Maybe they're seeking sensuality. And maybe it's the addiction of being entertained. Maybe it's an immoral sensuality. But that is a pursuit of foolishness for sure. Maybe it is success. And God wants you and I to have success. But success in and of itself is not the end game, if you will. We are here to bring God honor and glory. But the foolish is pursuing their accomplishments. Look at what I have built. Look at what I have done. Look at what I have made. And that is foolish. And then we looked at, fifthly, education. And again, education in and of itself is not wrong. God wants us to be educated. But when education is our entire reason for living and to have a man's wisdom, the Bible says that's foolishness. The real wisdom comes from God. And so we looked at the pursuits of foolishness. Now, as we dive into new material together this morning, I want us to see, letter B here, the decisions of wisdom. The decisions of wisdom. So foolishness is pursuing these types of things. But what is wisdom looking for? And the fear of the Lord recognizes that God is ultimate. We learned a couple weeks ago about the glory of God and how amazing God is, how awesome God is. And we have to be convinced of that. And then we have to teach that to our children as well. If our children are in love with an amazing God who spoke the world into being, who is the creator, who can do anything and all things, they're going to follow Him, they're going to love Him, and they're going to heed to His will for their life. And children need to make decisions to pursue wisdom. Now, suppose you told your children that you took a good sum of money and you hid it in their room. What do you think they would do? They would tear their room upside down until they found the money, right? We would too if somebody put money in our room, you know. We would do whatever it took to find that sum of money and then to use it for whatever need we may have. And God says, with that same intentionality, with that same persistency, with that same diligence, I want you to pursue wisdom. And the decision to know wisdom is the decision to go and find wisdom. The Bible says that God giveth liberally. He will not upbraid. He will not withhold. He will give. But He's going to give to the ones who ask. God has an infinite amount of wisdom. And God wants you and I to have wisdom, discernment, and understanding. But He's not just going to give it to us. He has it. He wants to give it to us. But He wants us to seek it as for His treasure. He wants us to go after it. He wants us to desire it. He wants us to put the work in to have it. It takes faith to please the Lord. We know that. And the Bible says, "And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." In His design, you know, one of the greatest things we can commit to do, being in church faithfully. One of the lessons coming up around the corner in this series is on the importance of church. And I was studying that this week, and it just stirred my heart and renewed my commitment to church and how important that is for me and for my family. And I want to encourage you to make big of that and to make big of seeking this wisdom. The Bible is full of wisdom. But I believe one of the books that gives practical wisdom every day is the book of Proverbs. And I want to encourage our class to spend time in the book of Proverbs every day. Many people will read what we call a proverb a day. Today is Sunday, June the 15th. And so either this morning in their Bible reading or maybe this afternoon or this evening, they would open up the book of Proverbs, which is basically in the middle of the Bible, and they would find the 15th chapter and they would read that chapter. And this might be something you do individually. It might be something you and your wife do. It might be something you sit down and do with your children. But that exercise, and that exercise alone, is something that you could implement in your home to help you in the pursuit of wisdom. Wisdom is making the decision. God is everything. I want to draw closer to Him and know Him better. I want wisdom and I'm going to seek after it. So foolishness is going after everything but God. Wisdom is seeking God with a diligent pursuit, like a treasure hunt, to know Him and to know His Word. But then I want us to see this morning, thirdly, the sure outcome. What is the sure outcome of foolishness? What is the sure outcome of wisdom as prescribed in the Word of God? And may we never forget that we make choices in life, but then we do not determine the consequences. So we get to choose what it is we're going to do, but we do not get to choose the consequences that comes with it. So God allows you and I to have soul liberty, to have freedom of will, to choose. Many of you made the choice this morning to be here in church. You made that choice. We're going to come. Maybe that decision was made a long time ago. Maybe you made it this morning. Maybe somebody encouraged you to make it. I don't know, and I'm just glad you're here. But you made the choice to be here. And now the consequences of hearing the Word of God, the preaching, the teaching, the fellowship, and all of that is to your benefit. So you get to decide what choices you make, but the consequences that follow those choices are already predetermined. Those you can do nothing about. And so if we choose foolishness, we can already look at where the outcome will go. And if we choose wisdom, we can know from God's Word, well, that will lead as well. And so let's look at, first of all, the ignorance of foolishness. Where does foolishness lead? And the Bible teaches that it leads to an ignorance. Now, not an ignorance of academia, if you will. We have a lot of people that know a lot of things of man's wisdom or of earthly wisdom that the Bible would say is but foolish. But the real ignorance of foolishness, or the greatest enemy, is rebellion. And where foolishness ultimately leads is rebellion. It's not an information deficit, but it is a rebellion problem. It is saying, I am choosing to live as if there is no God. And people pursuing foolishness live as if there's no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The Bible says in Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so they said, I don't believe in God. I'm not going to live like God. The Bible says that God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Pastor mentioned this in 8:30 service, and you're here at 11, but if you've been around people for any length of time that maybe were in church for a while, and then decided on their own that they no longer needed church and the things of God, and they got out. And maybe it had been a while since you had seen them or they'd been in church, and then you ran into them after a while. And sometimes when you interact with that person again, when it's been some time, it's almost like they're not the same person. The life they're living, the choices they're making, the things they're saying, their values, their principles. I mean, it's just so different than who you knew. How does that happen? The Bible says, when somebody lives in their heart like there is no God, and they pursue foolishness, and basically any venue that the world might say, come this way, this will bring you this, or this will bring you happiness, or this will bring you success, try this, try that, and they've just tried everything the world has to offer. The Bible says when in their heart they have lived like there is no God, then God will give them over to a mind to do whatever they want to do without God. And eventually their thinking and their living now represents a person who doesn't even know God. Now, we don't want that for anyone in this room, obviously. But take it a step further. We don't want that for our children. Amen. What a tragedy if our children someday lived a life as if there were no God. That's a tragedy. Amen. That would be the ultimate failure of any Christian home, to produce a child that someday would live as if there were no God. That's not what we want. That's not what we're striving for. That's not what we're training for. That's not what we're praying for. That's not why we're in this church and our children are in those classes. That's not why all this effort is being expended for. But that's the way of foolishness at its core. It is rebellion. That's not what we want. In contrast, here's what we want, the blessing of wisdom. The blessing of wisdom. We want our children to know the blessing of wisdom, which is why we have to train them to seek wisdom, to seek God, to seek His Word, to be faithful in church, to be around the things of God and the people of God. Why? Because there is a blessing that comes with that, that God indeed promises. What are the blessings of wisdom? First of all, understanding. The fear of the Lord produces understanding. The Bible says in Psalms 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. You know what we're missing in America today, by and large? Good old-fashioned common sense. It's hard to find. You know where that comes from? Wisdom. You know where wisdom comes from? God. His Word. In church, hearing it preached, hearing it taught, having our faith strengthened, and it just gives us the ability to make wise decisions. Good old-fashioned common sense, and that common sense and that biblical wisdom and discernment are the blessings of God to those who fear the Lord, to those who live in an awe and reverence of God. Man, God, You're awesome. I want to please and honor You today. I want my decisions to please and honor You. I want everything I say and do today to bring You honor and glory. That's what we want our children to live like. When they live out their day, Lord, may my behavior in class today please You. May my behavior today on the playground please You. May my behavior today with my siblings please You. May everything I say and do today bring You honor and glory. That's what we're trying to instill in the hearts of our children. Where does it come from? The Word of God. And what does it produce? It produces an understanding, an ability to have a common sense or a discernment in making decisions. Secondly, the blessing is long life. The fear of the Lord adds length of days. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And I believe that the fearing the Lord, having a biblical wisdom prolongeth days. It makes decisions that prolong your life, your earthly life. Now, we talked a couple weeks ago about sometimes a precious child may go home to be with the Lord. I did a homegoing service a few weeks ago for a five-year-old. And why did that happen? Or what were the circumstances around it? I do not know. Some of those questions will have to be answered in heaven. But I do know that God promises a long life if we will pursue wisdom. And so as we're living and as we're taking in God's Word so that we can make the right kind of decisions, and especially for our children, hey, we don't want our children's life to be snuffed out short because of pursuing substances or pursuing some immorality, and it brings to some a tragic end of life in some early fashion, which we know happens often when people are pursuing the things of this world. But rather, we want their life to be lived unto the Lord. And if the Lord calls them home sooner than we think, well, that's up to Him. But we certainly don't want their own living to be to their demise when it comes to the length of their life. And the Bible says long life is given to wisdom. Thirdly, we see godly values. The fear of the Lord realigns our values. And it helps us to have godly values. We live in a culture today that's like a department store where somebody has gone in and has changed all the price tags. We have fine watches that are priced like inexpensive combs. We have nice suits that sell for less than a necktie. In our culture today, a person's character is valued less than their appearance. Their kindness to others is valued less than their possessions that they have. We live in a culture today that has taken everything and has turned it upside down. And what is important to God is not important to culture. And what's really important to God is not important at all in culture. And that's the world in which we are training our children. But wisdom and the pursuit of it and developing a fear of God, a reverence for God, a wanting, a desire to please God in every way will help our children to realign their values according to the Word of God. So even though they might be living in a world that's upside down, they will be able to make decisions based on the Word of God that are right side up. And they may not agree with culture every time, but to please God. And that's what we want. And that's the blessing of wisdom, these godly values. Then we see, fourthly, moral sensitivity. The fear of the Lord produces moral sensitivity or moral awareness. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. as we pursue wisdom, biblical understanding and discernment and the ability to make decisions that please God, our children begin to understand, listen, pleasing God may not produce a lot of things on this earth that our culture and society say are must-haves, but someday I'll stand before God and my life will have brought Him honor and glory. That's worth something.
Amen.
And so these children live with an awareness or a sensitivity of, hey, if I'm pleasing God, I may not have this luxury or this perk or this recognition or this whatever in society and culture today, but that's okay with me. It's not something I'm pursuing. It's not even something I care about, because better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. A lot of people in our culture today would take all kinds of trouble if they could have treasure, would take all kinds of trouble if they could have fame, would take all kinds of trouble if they could really live it up for a while. But people with wisdom and the fear of the Lord recognize that, listen, I don't need all that stuff. If I'm doing right with my Heavenly Father, all is well. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's a moral sensitivity and awareness. Fifthly, there's honor. The fear of the Lord brings true honor. Children want to be noticed. They want to be approved. They want to meet our expectation. They want to please us. They want to fit in, if you will. And the Bible says in Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. The fear of the Lord brings true honor in our lives and in the lives of our children, because there's a humility in our understanding and dependence upon God. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Sometimes young people are so focused on the life right now that everything they do is based on that. But wisdom says, listen, life's not all about right now. Our life is but a vapor. We're going to spend an eternity in heaven. Life is about now and our eternity and our life thereafter and our life with the Lord. And therefore, the way I spend my life now is important, not just because of the now, but because of what I'm doing for an eternity. Wouldn't it be great if the families of His design were rearing children who were focused on doing things that lasted for an eternity?
Amen.
There's a lot of children today who live never even thinking about their life affecting eternity. Never even thinking to talk to somebody about Jesus or where they might spend an eternity or the fact that it would be good if they came to church as their guest. But we want to instill in our children a heart for God, wisdom that we get from His Word, and the wisdom that gives them an understanding of, listen, life is more about the things of here and now. They're about the things of God, and I want my life to focus not only presently, but on the future in a way that honors and pleases the Lord there as well. So it produces for us honor. Then, number six, it produces eternal joy. Eternal joy. The human soul was created for infinite and eternal joys. That's God's design. He wants us to possess that. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. God hath made everything beautiful in His time. The blessings that God has intended for you and I in our lives cannot be experienced by somebody who in their heart says there's no God. If somebody is going to live as if there is no God, they're never going to experience all that God has intended for them. But if somebody will gain from the wisdom from the Word of God and instill it in their heart and their life and will live in a way that pleases and honors the Lord to the best of their ability, the Bible teaches, listen, they're going to enjoy the blessings of God. Now, it rains on the just and the unjust. Nobody's going to have it perfect. We're all going to go through some valleys, but God will go through them with us. And it makes the mountaintops that much sweeter. And God is there, and He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And there is an eternal joy when we know God, we know His sovereignty, we know that He is with us no matter what we may face, and our children can learn that as well, so that no matter what they face in their life, hey, I may not understand it all, but I still have God. And God is still on the throne, and God has not forgotten me, and God is with me, and there is a comfort, there is a joy that brings to my life with that knowledge. And then we see, number seven, a spiritual success. A spiritual success. Our children are going to face incredible temptation. We live in a world where wickedness is all around us and maybe is more available than it has ever been before. And how can we ensure that our children will be successful when they face these temptations? And I want to submit to you this morning that it is only through the fear of the Lord. Listen, our children may act a certain way around us and a different way without us there, and that's something we may be working on. But we want to get to the place in our homes where when our children, all by themselves, faced with an opportunity to do that which is wrong, say no, because they know God and they love God and they fear God, and out of reverence for Him, they do what's right.
Amen.
That's character. That's a heart for God and the heart of a child. And that's wisdom. Where does that come from? It comes from you and I examining our homes and saying, is there any foolishness in our home? Is there anything in our home, a philosophy, a form of entertainment, an activity, a place we go, a thing we do, a people we're with, that would be categorized as there is no God here? Is there any foolishness in our home? Anything that denies the existence of God? And then what are we doing to strategically pursue wisdom? Are we reading the Word of God together? Are we faithfully in the house of God together? Are we worshiping God together and singing songs in the morning and maybe before bed? Are we praying together as a family and before our meals and maybe at a special devotional time? Are we talking about the things of the Lord? Are we getting to true wisdom so that we can be blessed by these benefits of wisdom and this spiritual success that no matter what we face, we can please God if we will do it in His might, in His wisdom, and in His power? This is something that you and I have to value. This is something you and I have to learn. And this is something you and I have to train. And may we this week, with God's help, say, God, help me, every dad in this room on Father's Day. God, help me, every mom, every adult. God, help me to value my life and home. Is there any foolishness here that I need to get rid of? And are we pursuing wisdom? And God, as we pursue wisdom, we pray Your blessings upon our life, our home, and our children, that we may cultivate in their heart a heart for God. Dear Heavenly Father, we sure love You. Thank You for some time in Your precious Word this morning. Thank You for our class and their faithfulness. It's such a joy to be with them and to be together. God, I pray that You'd bless them this week and help all of us in our homes to pursue wisdom and to abstain from foolishness. May we examine our lives and our relationships and our homes in that fashion this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.